On the other hand, these trees were clearly designed to isolate and bring the Crusader states into closer cooperation with the Byzantine government. That was what was one of their main aims. That is, their aim was far more diplomatic in vis-a-vis the relationships between Constantinople and the Latin states than a way of not paying for an imperial fleet, that is, economic measure, a fiscal measure to avoid the expense of rebuilding the imperial fleet or whatever. And that's pointed out in several instances where in 1169 an imperial fleet, Manuel's fleet, actually cooperated with the army of the Kingdom of Jerusalem in an invasion of Egypt. That was vital to the potential success of the operation. King Amalric I had married a niece of Manuel, and this was part of the deal. In 1171, Manuel humbled the Venetians by seizing on the same day and reputedly on the same hour every Venetian in the Byzantine Empire and impounding their property just to show the Venetians they shouldn't get too arrogant and that all of their commercial privileges rested on the gift of the emperor. This caused a great deal of hard feeling in Venice, although it was later reconciled. Genoese merchants were punished similarly perhaps 3 years later because of their pirate activities. Some of these Italian merchants operating under the flags of Genoa, Pisa, and Venice were pretty dubious characters. They claimed to represent the republics, and they could just as easily go into that occupation of piracy, which was related but not quite what the emperor wanted, as opposed to the other occupation of merchant. Much of this diplomacy with the Italian merchants actually was probably more one of the main reasons for the growing resentment, at least in Constantinople, maybe not the rest of the empire, of Western Europeans. Italians got lumped together with Crusaders. Well, all of this meant that there were two important consequences of the relationships between the Byzantine emperors and the Crusaders in the first half of the 12th century. One is that the Cumanian emperors played a rather dangerous diplomatic game. They courted Western princes. They sent out alliance and marriage offers, particularly to Holy Roman emperors in the West. They intimated with the papacy they might reunite the churches. These were all ploys to gain some kind of diplomatic leverage or advantage to pressure Crusader states or their close ally, the Normans in Sicily. And there were going to be some dangerous consequences there. It also resulted in Byzantines at court very often seeing the Western kings, particularly the Capetian kings of France, as potential overlords of the Franks of Outremer and as dangerous. Above all, these arrangements were accompanied by lavish ceremonies, subsidies, money paid out to the kings of Jerusalem, expensive military expeditions into Antioch. All of these costly diplomatic moves conveyed the illusion that Constantinople was more powerful than she really was. And by the time Manuel I came to the throne, most Western princes, whether they be in Europe or whether they be ruling in the Levant, had a sense that the Byzantine government, who had summoned the Western Europeans in the first place, was really in a position to bankroll Crusades, to provide the kinds of support and money that Alexis gave in the First Crusade. And when this wasn't forthcoming, they grew disappointed and then eventually angry. And that this growing mistaking of imperial ceremony, imperial subsidies, imperial diplomacy for the reality of power became one of the major factors in the misunderstanding between Crusaders and Byzantines through the 12th century and is really the vital background for understanding how Crusaders, members of the Fourth Crusade, would end up sacking Constantinople in 1204 on the grounds that they hadn't been paid, as had been promised by an exiled Byzantine prince. This was not a group of rogue crusaders out for their own ends. These were crusaders operating on a premise that, all ironically, went back to the policies of the very first Cumanian emperor.